Welcome to Story Talks, where we discuss the practices that engage, motivate, develop, retain, and attract people to businesses. We'll give you principles and tools based on real-world stories to leverage listening and storytelling to become a better leader and management professional. Story Talks is produced by Narrative, a company that focuses on personal storytelling for business.
This is our fourth conversation between myself and Jules here, and we wanted to delve a little bit more into knowledge transfer, which is something that we've alluded to in previous conversations. And we've talked about all these issues around coming back to the office and how to do that and how storytelling can play a role in that and support everyone out there in getting back to the office and welcoming their teams back. But there's really something that underlies, I feel certainly, a lot of everything that we do and even the role of storytelling in business, and that's knowledge transfer. And so we thought, why not name it and also talk a little bit more about the strategies around how do we actually do that? How do we transfer knowledge and why? Why is it important to transfer knowledge? I think that's a really important question to ask.
And I agree. And I'm coming at this from a context of watching a lot of people leave an organization or change their roles, where the most practical thing they could have done is share the context of what they were doing and why. Not an outline, but actually to talk to people, because a lot of times get lost. There's lots of confusion, and there's nothing as frustrating as being an employee who's coming in or a new team member and finding out knowledge existed and they didn't have to chase after things they could have benefited from it. So we hear storytelling, we're like, no, it's not about once upon a time. It's telling them what you were doing and allowing them to get into your head, because you might be the most brilliant outline maker, but nobody understands why. So that's my mission, to make somebody else's life a little bit easier.
That's great. And I love the fact that it's storytelling is not, you know, it's not once upon a time and kind of, because I think that's actually the impression a lot, is that we see these wonderful performers, presenters, you know, even in the business world, mm-hmm. and they can spin a great story about various things that can seem quite inspirational. And then as a result, because that's what's in the public realm, that becomes sort of the impression that we have of storytelling, is that you do that as a way of inspiring people. And mm-hmm. that's the only function of storytelling. And I think here today we want to talk about the other function of storytelling, which might actually be more important. And so I guess, how would you answer the question, why is it so important to actually transfer knowledge? I mean, I understand the impetus of, oh, I could have known. But at the end of the day, if you do find out the knowledge that you did need to do your job better, you know, eventually you get to it. So what's so important about getting to it earlier? Or, you know, I'm kind of curious about your thoughts on why why do we need to care about knowledge transfer, I guess?
Because, all right, part of the goal is to work efficiently and productively and work smart. And there's lots of people who have been working on your projects. And one of the things about storytelling is you're not using buzzwords. You're using real context and information. And isn't that why you have a job? So you can actually to do it and not spend time wandering around the planet, either through cyberspace or anything, or reinventing things and have somebody at the conference room table saying, well, we did that already and you should have known this. So it's about curating and selecting valuable information and data. Now, I worked at organizations where people were retiring. They weren't just leaving. They were disappearing into another world. And there was decades of information in their heads that could save money and efficiency. So that's my favorite word today, efficiently. I think it's obvious, but I wanted to state it forward of teaching people to not just tell things, facts with statistics, but to actually take time to explain it. And if they can't do it in person, videotape it. You got enough gadgets lately to make that happen. So, okay.
I think that's a really good point. Yeah. I think for me, you know, obviously I'm playing devil's advocate because I believe in it, but, you know, I think it's important too, right? It's to really state clearly why, and you're right. I mean, it's about efficiency at the end of the day. And what are we finding out these days? You know, that efficiency is really key to our bottom line, because if we're not efficient enough, then we're wasting time and we're wasting precious resources. And, you know, it's been a whole year and a half almost of having to figure out what's uh-huh. more efficient now that we're, you know, that we've been so long working remotely and now we're all coming back. And so how do we do that efficiently? And what's the knowledge that we can use, you know, that we can learn from?
Well, here's a thing that just occurred to me, because we're not doing the knowledge transfer right at the point of entry when you have a new person. It should be happening organically when you're going into a recruiting mode, even, and you're sitting down with your recruiting team or the other hiring managers to figure out what the group needs at this point in time and why you're hiring. So the old expression is, if you want to learn something, you teach the subject. And I think talking about it in story form could really save you some mishires, misinformation, misrepresentations of what the job is. Not your aspirational stuff, but really what the job is, point in time when that person shows up and you're pulling them out either externally or internally. So they have a much more reasonable set of expectations. Because I think you need to show them the good, bad, and ugly in jobs if you really want to hold on to somebody. So when they come in the door, you say, I told you, I was in the misrepresenting the job. But having been on that side of the, you know, on the seat as the recruiter or the team person. So I think that's part of it. So start doing your thinking early about when you type in your nice wish list, which is usually very aspirational. Tell them stories about what you've done, and you'll also conduct a better interview. So I'll stop talking and let you throw another question at me. So,
it's great. What I'm getting is, you know, involve other people. If you have a recruitment goal, then you know, involve the people that were potentially in those shoes before, or if it's a completely new role, then maybe tell the story of why you need this new role, and write that story down and use that story in the interview, because that will then help you sort of figure out the alignment with that person. So recruitment, I think, is a great added, you know, use of knowledge transfer, because literally you could use this for anything. But I think probably right now what's on people's mind is recruitment quite a bit. And retention, you know, those two things, recruitment and retention, and the onboarding piece, of course, and maybe you're even rehiring people. And so what's, you know, what's behind these rehires? But I think the other thing I wanted to just build on is what you were saying, that it's the utilitarian function of storytelling in this case, because we're literally saying, just to elaborate on that, on what that means, we're saying quite, you know, concretely, tell us about a time when you encountered a situation that this person is very likely to encounter, or that other people on your team will encounter, and just tell us exactly what happened when you walked into that office. What did that person say? What did this person say? What did you say? And what was the outcome? Because then those are the kinds of things that are very practical that we can learn from. There are lessons in those stories. And then when that person who went through that experience leaves the organization, well, you've captured that. You have that knowledge. That's what we're talking about here. It's quite concrete. It's not like some idea about leadership, you know, that we lost a great leader, you know, who's gone to the competition. Well, now we don't have that person's charisma. We don't have their personality. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is their concrete information that they've gone through, experiences that they've gone through, and to find a way to capture that and then share that within the organization. That's what we're talking about.
We also play bingo with words that we use to describe things that we think are really helping people learn about our organization or the job. And I had one favorite boss whose head would spin off his shoulders every time one of the hiring managers used the word strategy or strategic at different levels, because it's the most overused word. And I feel like if you're really going to have a compelling conversation with somebody and really dig into their brain, show and don't tell what strategy means. Show and don't just don't tell them. You want them to be innovative. Show what your team did to problem solve and where they pulled their creativity for. And that's a much more robust recruiting tool to get that person excited about what those things really are and what their hand is going to be in that. So rattling off those, we used to just play bingo. Every time we heard the word strategy in one day, and it told us nothing. It told us nothing. It was just a great phrase. So tell your recruiter or your hiring manager just something that they can walk away and get enthusiastic about. And remember what the heck you do for a living in your pod. So I think that's part of it.
Yeah, for sure. So I wonder if we could maybe talk a little bit about strategy. Strategy before, and I'm using this facetiously now, but we can start our game of bingo. But for the audience, but you know, so what are some good strategies for, because I think what we're talking about here is not, you know, we talked about the why, and of course, you know, for people who are listening to this, you have your own why, and maybe you should start there. You should probably start by thinking about, you know, what is my why? We've talked about recruitment, we've talked about retention and a host of other things too. And of course, we've talked about the fact that when people leave and this turnover that's happening, now you've got knowledge that people can learn from. So that's a set of why, but certainly start with why for you. But I think so now, you know, what are some good tips that we can give people around creating knowledge and sharing knowledge? What's your take on that?
I think taking a step back and looking at work that you think was the most important thing your team has achieved and figuring out the why behind it and breaking it down into an example that's memorable, that has a storyline to it, has a beginning, a middle, an end. Share where things might have been going askew, where you got sweaty and you had headaches and you had to figure it out and it wasn't going according to plan, and how you change things, and then where you got to the end and why it worked. So that's what I'm looking for, is the details about why something happened. Not that here's our finished product, because when you're thinking about it, there, you got competitors out there. What's your differentiating factor is going to be the human side of what you all delivered.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. I of course, what you just did, Jules, is essentially you just outlined the structure of a story, right? Because that's what stories do, is, you know, you tell me about something that happened, whether it was, and then what was challenging about it. And every story has every good story has a conflict or something that happens that wasn't expected, and it's like a turning point. And so you can take the story arc and the structure of a story and apply those principles to exactly what you're talking about. You know, when you think of that most important thing that's happened, or a series of things that have happened and that need to be communicated to a particular audience, then, all right, well, when we actually do dissect that, let's tell it as a story. Let's use the principles of storytelling to bring out the details that are going to engage that audience. Which brings me to another point, which is about the audience, right? Who is this for? You know, really identifying who that knowledge is for. I mean, I'm thinking of, you know, a client that we've had and who's been talking to us about their sales challenges and just what they've been going through, and the fact that many of their salespeople have gone. And so they're recruiting new ones. And the idea is, you know, how do we bring them up to speed? Because they had those salespeople who left, they've been there for 15, 20 years, you know. So these are people who'd been really the whole value proposition was ingrained, mm-hmm. for them, and they knew how to do this stuff. They didn't have to look at their playbook anymore, you know. So here, you're using those tools again, like the playbook and those kinds of things that support the sales team. But what they're saying is that the stories is what supports them the most. The stories of those people who left and that they actually documented. So the kinds of stories they're talking about are, what was your worst experience working here as a salesperson, working with a client, you know, or a prospect, and how did you get over that for the next client? So we're talking about stories of rejection. We're talking about stories where we overcame a challenge. And then finally, those stories that end, quote unquote, well, you know, where it does have a happy ending with the prospect buying the product. But what's interesting about that, you would think that in sales, you only want to hear those. You only want to hear about, mm-hmm. how'd you get that client to buy that product? Well, actually, what's interesting here is that what they really want to hear are the stories about the pain points. And, you know, what are the things that are really challenging to those prospects? And it's not always the success stories that reveal that. Sometimes the really challenging situations reveal that. So that's why we're sort of finding as many scenarios and situations that people have actually gone through and dissecting those and telling those stories so that people can understand what they're walking into. I'm likely to encounter this type of prospect, you know, and maybe I've got some ideas, some creative ideas based on that story as to how I might approach that situation. So you're kind of also, I think there's a distinction we have to make, which is that it's not just about the knowledge that someone left with was this magical gold, you know, and if I can get that, then I'm good. It's mm-hmm. rather, it's support, right? It's sort of, I can get that and I can add to it. I can build on it with my own knowledge, right? With my own experiences and my own creative ways of dealing with something. But if you don't have that foundation, then it's that much more difficult to bring your own experiences to it and your own value to it.
And I think it's more important in the intangibles because, again, when we say a salesperson, I've met a lot of amazing salespeople that they'll tell you it's not about selling a product. It's building relationships and doing a lot of investment of time, being thoughtful, of course, about where they put their time in. But a lot of times that sale does not happen right away. And it's all of those intangibles about what made that person successful. You know, how they showed up in the different ways, what they gave. We can talk about being service focused, but what does that mean in this organization? So showing it in a story and dissecting it, I think really, really helps everybody at every level to see, you know, how their job's going to show up in different ways. I had one salesperson, I remember way back with, you know, with applicant tracking systems. I had a great relationship with this person. I learned a lot and then I moved to another company and he still took my calls and we finally made a sale for him, which I was like determined to say he's going to be my vendor. But it was that follow up and knowing that, you know, we invested time. I was clearly interested in the product. It was just needed to be in the right place at the right time to make a decision. So those things matter. But intangibles, yeah. Look at your all those competencies and break it down and say, what kind of stories do we need to have in order to make it make sense?
And imagine, you know, for that next person that's coming along and who hears that story you just told from the person who experienced that, who sort of said, you know, from their side of their perspective, you know, I had this client and she was really this prospect and she was really interested in my product, but she wasn't in the right company. And then finally she went into this other company and, you know, finally we did make a sale. But I hung in there and here are the things that I did in the meantime, you know, while all of this was happening. Wouldn't it be fascinating to hear the story from his perspective of what he was doing, you know, and how he just kind of stuck to things and has some kind of process that's very consistent, I would imagine. But it's sort of knowing about that and these stories about people's processes, I think, are very helpful to people who are in the same industry, the same role, you know, and you can really learn from that. It's not just about, you know, I did XYZ in the meeting and that's what got me through. It's very rare that's, you, things happen in just one meeting. Usually it's, you know, it's over time, and there's a series of practices that you have and things that you do, maybe even, you know, asking people, what do you do in the morning, you know, before you get to work, and, you know, what's the first thing you do? And, you know, maybe there's all sorts of things that people do that others could learn from. And that's, I think, the kind of knowledge that we're talking about here is not, the intangible is what you're talking about. And it's sort of this mix of things that I do, things that I've known for a long time because of my education, my culture, et cetera. And it's ways that I am, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, it's how you are and in the world. But that's, you know, sort of an intangible, but through stories, it becomes very tangible. It's like you can actually see what that person is doing and being and, you know, who they are. It's like watching a movie. So there's something to learn from that. I think sometimes we feel like, you know, the intangible is just impossible to learn from because it's intangible. But the stories are what makes the intangible tangible. Should be our new slogan, I think.
Yeah, it will be. We can put it in a few languages. But it's true, because if we all recruit in many different ways, and a lot of it is through relationships. It's thing. If you can make the best use of your vendors, a recruiter, and they can walk away with a story about what's great about your group or some of the achievements they've had, it'll stay remembered. We know that. We know the brain science about it, the facts and emotions. It'll help differentiate. It definitely helped me when I got case studies. And I would sit down and ask people, oh, help me be in your seat and what you're doing. I was able to learn a lot more information and really put things into perspective. So I think everybody wins in this. It's not just telling you, here's a new task that you got to take on that has absolutely no upside. Plenty upside. Teaches you yourself about your work, teaches others, and then it also starts to reinforce the work that has to be done, that's prioritizing. So I think it should just be part of your regime, basically, and your work study. But it's great, and put it someplace so it's not just in your head, because it doesn't help anybody if you're not sharing it. So I think that's my other guiding point.
It just occurred to me as you were speaking about, you know, the way that we, because we've talked a lot about why it's important, what are the ways to actually capture the knowledge, what are the ways to share the knowledge, or what happens when you share the knowledge, what the outcome is, you know, for the person who gets that knowledge from someone else. But I wonder now, how do you motivate someone to give up their knowledge, you know, to get it out of them, essentially? I wonder it could be interesting to talk about some of the incentives, right? Of like, how do you do that? Because I remember a long time ago, I was at a conference that was all about talent management and development. And there was a session about knowledge transfer, and it was about legacy, essentially. And this person was going, and it was a manufacturing company. And the presenter of this session was showing a video, and it was him talking to various people in the factory. Mm-hmm. I forget what they made, but maybe it might have been an auto factory. And he was asking this person who'd been there for 20 years, you know, so how do you do what you do? And the person was like, why do you want to know? Who cares about that? It's not interesting what I do. I mean, I make parts over here, and what, you know, what's interesting about that? But the guy stuck to it and finally got information out of him. But it was difficult, and this is what he shared with the audience, is that it was difficult to get people to understand why, you know, what they do mm-hmm. is so important to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. And I think also it's about trust and the reason. So I could see with this person on the floor wondering, is this mean if I tell, I'm going to be replaced or automated or something is not going to resonate in a good way. So I think it is a little bit of a negotiation. I think for the person who's asking the information, sometimes it's good if they do share. I use that technique a lot. giving an example of what I thought was a value added in my team or recruiting to show the listener what I was hoping for. I think that's one thing. And then to ask a lot of questions in very open and so slowly but surely, people will start to piece it together and get relaxed too. So it's where we talk in our work about it's important to listen. And sometimes at the beginning, it's also important to ask questions and share more and then start to receive. And then keep showing up. I can advocate for the power of being slightly annoying and showing up at somebody's doorstep and going, I need a little more information. Or, you know, can you build on that? I've been thinking about what you've shared. Slowly but sure, it did work some magic in a good way to say, like, A, I wasn't going away. B, I think what you're doing is important and I want to do right by you. So I think having a little bit of sense of humor, whether you're showing up on a screen or you're showing up in a real-time situation.
Yeah.
And I think that can be build some collaboration. And again, save time in the end when you're not presenting wrong perspectives when you're out and about.
Yeah. You know, and that also brings to my mind that the speaking of roles and, you know, who does what, for me, it's really important to identify who's going to be that person. You know, in ancient civilizations, there was always a scribe, you know, and that's how we know what was going on in ancient Egypt and Greece and all of these places, right? And so who's the scribe in your organization, you know, and who's that person or that team who can sort of take this kind of thing on where they're the ones asking the questions, they're the ones listening. You know, you really do need that. It can't be so informal that it's a conversation, you know, by the water cooler or on Zoom or whatever, or just because you're recording the Zoom conversation or the phone conversation you're having means that you got it. You actually have to have someone who's going to look at that and analyze it and extract the lessons that you need so that it can be shared with others. That's all part of the sharing tactics, really, you know, and getting that knowledge.
So I think framing it and not to make it over involved the way it could appear to somebody, some 10 basic, you know, I always say 5 questions that could reap a lot. You know, when somebody's describing their job, what would you like to be doing more of? What would you like to be doing less of? What worked to your surprise, what didn't, and what would you wish you could do over? I think a lot of times also that we're all guilty of talking our own buzzwords. And I've been in plenty of meetings, clueless about the new area of expertise I was supposed to learn and recruit for. And I'd be like, unless this meeting is coming with subtitles, I'm going to need some translations. And in that stranger in your midst, sometimes great value comes out of it, because when somebody's explaining to somebody not from their tribe, they have to kind of show the reasoning and explain what they're doing and why. So I think mixing it up, it doesn't have to be the most senior person asking all these questions. It could be a mid-level. It could be a training tool to engage your interns or your newcomers into the mix. And the more they can parrot back of what you said truthfully and authentically, more power to them. They're learning and you are too. So I think, you know, having some fun and figuring out who your good storytellers and who has good memory and actually listens and repeats it. But I think there's a value. We waste so much time of not knowing what people are doing in our own group sometimes. And I think that is a real powerful thing that also can come out of it. You have 20 people around the table or 10 people, they have all their heads down in something else. We start sharing what the stories are. People learn. People just, you know, feel a little more connected to the what the heck are we doing here and why stories.
Yes, exactly. I love it. I love it. Well, this has been great. I wanna just do a little bit of a wrap up here with some of the most important points we talked about. So always start with why. That's number one. Why do you need why do you need knowledge, and why do you need to share it with others? And then two, what I've heard is you got to identify the kind of knowledge you need, you know, and who are the knowledge holders, and who it's going to be for. So that's number two, is identifying that audience, the audience that has the knowledge, the audience that needs the knowledge. And we've given you quite a few different examples here today, but that's really what you have to figure out for yourselves. And then I think in terms of sharing, we've talked about some strategies there too. You know, taking that knowledge and sharing it with other people, what you really need is someone who's in charge of that, someone who can actually go and get the knowledge, ask the right questions, have those five basic questions, like Jules just put it, and just ask those questions away and build trust. Be very, very open about why you're asking these questions, what your purpose is with it, because people will not necessarily be open to such a process. So you have to kind of incentivize people to actually give you knowledge in the first place. So have someone who's that point person who can ask those questions, is a great listener. That would be my first requirement. If you have someone who's not a very good listener, then that probably should not be that person. And then finally, have a place to have all of these stories, because now you're going to be collecting all these stories, right? And have a place to actually share these stories. So whether that's an internal YouTube channel that's private, not public, or whether you create a library like we do with a lot of our clients, we actually create libraries of stories that are searchable, you know, where you can actually look for a key term and you'll find a bunch of stories around that from people from the organization. But you don't even have to build something that fancy, so to speak, but you can really use third parties here to make things more efficient. Efficiency was Jules's word at the beginning, so I'm using it again here at the end. And you know, have fun with it. I think that's the other thing I got from you, Jules, today is let's create conversations that are, you know, not so, don't feel so constrained or like, you know, we've got to come up with something amazing. No, you're just asking about people's life experiences, things that actually happen to them. So they don't actually have to invent anything. It's probably the easiest meeting they'll be at, the easiest interview they'll do is when you ask them those questions. Have I missed anything? Does that feel like I
was thinking my two favorite words is be nosy and listen for nuances, because somebody giving you a rattled job description, fact, statistics, you'll remember nothing. But if they give you nuances, and then you actually use the information afterwards, I won't have to win you over anymore. You'll start to see it in play. So have some fun with it. It's not rocket science. It's something we just have to practice and remind ourselves to do it. And you'll have a lot of different benefits that we can talk about in another session too. So great. Always great.
Yeah, great to have this conversation once again, Jules. And yes, you can go to the narrative.com website and learn more through our blogs. There's a blog that's up right now where from one of our conversations, and you can learn a lot about post-pandemic insights, about how to come back to the office and deal with those challenges. And we'll have more. We'll have more as we go along, and we'll certainly welcome your feedback as well. So thanks again, Jules, for being here
one more time.
And we'll see you next time.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Narrative Story Talks. For more information on the narrative listening and storytelling method and how it can help your business, go to narrative.com.